Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, brothers and sisters out there. It is Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 9:30 a.m. here in Scompton, Utah. I don't know what time it is where you are. But it's hump day. You're going to get your hump on. You're going to find yourself a Fast Time Sally. You're going to fall in love for an hour. Maybe 90 minutes at lunch. Yeah, it's Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2023. Can you believe it, my friends out there someplace? I can't believe it. I can and I can't. It is both believable and unbelievable at the same time. It mystifies me. I don't know. I had this really bad idea the other day. And it is. It's a bad idea, which means it could mean a couple things to you. It's a bit of an amphibious statement because often when we say bad idea, we say it's a bad idea because it can't work. In this particular case, this is a bad idea, but it could work. I've never seen it done before. But imagine you had an old pickup truck, like an old Chevy diesel. And you could take that, you know, tailgate of yours and set it up like a very, very supermassive Claymore mine. And then you reinforce the rear window glass on the cab of the truck. And the thing about this particular setup is a person could drive back up their pickup in the direction of some, I don't know, whatever's annoying them, let's leave it at that, and throw a switch, and as long as they had hearing protection, they could drive away. Because again, a Claymore mine is a chafe charge, which means it's a directed explosive, which means that you could pack your tailgate of your truck with whatever Semtex or Claymore or plastique you have, along with ball bearings, you know, rusty nails, broken glass, and all of it should have been soaked in fecal matter, shithead. This is a bad idea. The thing is, I've never seen it done. We have all these suicide bombers who attach explosives to themselves and go into a large group of people, but how many of these idiots have figured out a way to actually do it and get away with it, right? Other than 9/11, right? Now, you could say, Dan, this is a terrible idea because it's a violent idea. Why would you talk about this? This is bad. This is a bad idea because it's about violence. And I agree. I agree, both as a Christian and as an anarchist, it is a bad idea. But at this point in time, I'm beginning to wonder, what are we waiting to do exactly? Are we waiting to boycott somebody? Are we waiting to vote next year? Vote for Trump, a vote for Biden? Is that what you're waiting for? How about RFK, shithead? What are you waiting for exactly? Are you waiting for a protest? I've seen protests my whole fucking life. It's why I can tune out the French bullshit. Mainly because the French bullshit's been going on forever. And when the French actually start robbing armories, when they start doing the things they've been doing for hundreds of years, which is stealing guns, that's the thing. The peasants in 1789 didn't have shit, brothers and sisters. They didn't have cannon. They didn't have muzzle loaders. They didn't have pistoles. Maybe they had a few, but for the most part, they didn't have guns. And yet somehow, the peasants in 1789 managed to topple the government of France. Now, we can get into all kinds of conspiracy theories, brothers and sisters, window dressing and whatnot, but here is the key point. The French never had an issue stealing from an armory. The French never had an issue breaking into a military base. If the French wanted guns instead of the bullshit protests they're doing, they could get them. And if the French suddenly had guns, you wouldn't be hearing shit about it. Oh my God, another food processing plant blew up in France. East of Marseille, another farmer had 17,000 cows explode. Oh my God, west of the Ardennes, another train derailed. That's the shit you would be hearing. You wouldn't be hearing about protests. You wouldn't hear about yellow vests. What kind of color revolution bullshit is that? You would be given explanations for what's going on, but you wouldn't hear the truth. The surest way you know that these French protests are bullshit is the fact that they're televised. The surest way you know that it's crap is that you can be aware of it for what it is. I'd rather hear about food processing plants exploding there or 15,000, fucking cows exploding in France. Then it might give me some fucking hope because I can see through those shitty goddamn lies. I know exactly what they mean. They cover up something else. And maybe we don't know what that is either yet, brothers and sisters. Maybe we don't. But we'll see, right? So that's a bad idea, and I hope you forgot about it already, because it's a terrible idea. Next topic. So I have, for whatever reason, in my social media, I have a lot of people in the last year who've decided to do what the old-timers call taking the cure. And that is to give up on drinking. Stop drinking. Don't drink. Take the sober life. And I gotta say, since I don't have a lot of money these days, yeah, I've kind of embraced it too. Not out of desire or action or self-discipline, but simply because I don't have any fucking money. Now, does this mean if I had a ton of money, I'd go get shit-faced drunk every day? No. But what I can tell you is not having money reduces the amount of alcohol anybody's gonna fucking drink unless they want to die in the streets, you know, like some hobo. I really don't know what to tell you about the sober life. If you've decided to stop drinking, God bless. Okay, alcohol is poisonous. It's also something that's been part of human culture probably since the beginning. Even societies that don't have much technology, even societies that are pretty much hunter-gatherer have, throughout history, figured out ways to ferment alcohol. So this idea that the only way you're going to find a drunkard is to find a city is bullshit. However, cities tended to have a surplus of this, of that, a surplus of everything. That's why the rats showed up. So a city will carry your drunk ass a lot longer than the jungle will, fucker. I believe there are baboons in Africa. And there are these baboons in Africa that will wait for a certain kind of fruit to ferment on the tree. It'll ripen, and then it will ferment, and then these particular baboons have fun eating this special fruit. This is a well-studied phenomenon. And I don't think it's just special to the baboon. I think if you did a thorough study of the animal kingdom, you'd find out a couple things. Number one, that where there is consciousness, there is a pursuit of drugs. I don't care if it's the octopus. I don't care if it's the fucking baboon. I don't care if it's a fucking killer whale or whatever, a parrot. If there's a little bit of consciousness, for whatever reason, right, animals will seek out alcohol. So yeah, I'm glad if you've chosen to not drink. God bless. But here's what really kind of bothers me. The people that spend all day, every day on social media telling people how they're not drinking. Okay? If you're not drinking, if you're not having a drink, the best advice I can give to you is leave that life behind. Okay? And it is like anything else. Okay? If you have a problem controlling yourself, which means, I don't know how to put this, you're a little bit rapey. Talking about how rapey you are isn't going to help. Isn't going to help anybody. Isn't going to help strangers. And it sure as shit's not going to fucking help you. So why the fuck do you have to tell strangers every fucking day that you're not drinking? Seems like you want to drink, shithead. You know? And again, it's like the thing with gun control. You know, you'll have some motherfucker saying, well, you know, people have guns, so they go out and kill people, which is total bullshit. And I'll have people say, the sober life people, the abs people, getting fit and showing me people, oh yeah, you can't blame guns. And why the fuck are you blaming alcohol because you're a weak prick? Why the fuck are you blaming the beer or the whiskey because you beat your wife? Why? Why are you blaming drugs because you're a shithead? I'm gonna blow your mind, motherfucker. You're a shithead whether you're drinking or not. It just turns out the drinking makes it easier for you to be a fucker, to be a shithead, to be a rapist, to be a wife beater. It just turns out that drinking makes that easier for you. But whether you're sober or drunk, you're still a shithead. Do you fucking understand? And if you're going to blame alcohol for anything at all, any problems in society at all, then why don't you join the Democratic Party? Why don't you get on this anti-gun bandwagon? You might as well blame guns, blame whiskey, blame rock and roll, okay? Blame the fire. Fire started a long time ago. Why don't you blame that? Blame the fucking baboon. You probably got some genes in common with that shithead fucker. Fuck. No, it's just funny. I talk about beer periodically because I drink beer. Do I think everybody should drink beer? I think people should do what they want to do. And I'll also add another little important factoid. Anything you do obsessively is going to impact your ability to do other fucking things. Okay? If you're a mom or a dad and you spend 7 hours a day or four, let's just say you spend 3 hours a day exercising, getting ready for a marathon. Just 3 hours, Dan. Anything you do for those 3 hours, you're not doing something else, which means if you have kids you need to fucking take care of, guess what? You're not taking care of your fucking kids. I don't give a fuck if you're gonna run a marathon. Don't tell me about your latest obsession, you dry drunk. Anything you do obsessively, anything you do with total focus, precludes you doing something else. I don't care if it's drinking or exercising. I don't care if it's writing books or writing poetry or making videos, going on TikTok, social fucking media. Anything you do obsessively precludes you from doing something else. It should be fucking common sense, really. And I've known all kinds of fuckers who will do all kinds of shit obsessively. I've known them. I've known them since I was a kid, and some of these people will give speeches about drinking. And I can truly and honestly say, I don't drink nearly as obsessively as some of these motherfuckers exercise. And I'll also tell you this. There's a point at which the exercise ain't gonna fucking help you, buddy. You know? Some of you, especially some of you long-distance runners, some of you ladies, you look like dried-out handbags. So go ahead. Quit drinking. I don't fucking care. Live the sober life. That's okay. But my advice, if you're making a choice like this, is don't spend all day becoming the evangelist of your own weakness. Really, don't. Don't tell me how bad alcohol is, because you'll sound like a fucking liberal to me. Talking about guns. Oh my God, guns killing people, guns blowing people up. I don't know. Pick up a motherfucking phone, asshole, and ask a family in Syria what a drone did to them yesterday. What a Hellfire missile did to their grandpa. Fuck off. But still, you'll tell me guns are bad. And you say, oh, alcohol. Alcohol's so bad. It's so terrible. I used to do terrible things. You know what, shithead? I will bet you there's an 80% chance you still do the same shitty things. To the people around you, to the people you love. You can spend all day virtue signaling and sending us pictures of your goddamn abs, but my guess is you're still the biggest piece of shit today that you were yesterday. Alcohol or no alcohol, gun or no gun, it doesn't fucking matter. A. Stop blaming inanimate objects for your fucking problems. B. If you're really committed to the sober life, don't drink. Next topic. God. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Other than the anarchist world, the ham radio world might be the most infested, the most infiltrated with feds. What does that mean? And by the way, when I said fed, you could replace that with confidential informant, because a lot of people, a lot of people end up getting their arm twisted and participate in programs with the FBI, and they're not really FBI, they're just some schmuck who doesn't give a fuck about their neighbor, who doesn't mind turning on their friends, and wants to avoid jail. So if it means spying on their friends at an anarchist conference, well, shit, they'll do that. But brothers and sisters, as bad as that is in the world of anarchism and in the Libertarian Party, the ham radio world is worse. It's not just worse in terms of the people that participate. They're communist enough. But, and I've mentioned this before, if you look at the companies that make these radios, it's almost as if, on purpose, they're trying to create communications tools that are weaker, that are more fragile than they need to be. For example, you just can't take a handset from any fucking radio and plug it into another one. It is 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. Just about everything in the world of electronics is standardized, except for motherfucking radio. You ever think about that? You know? You ever wonder why that's true? Whether it's a CB radio or an expensive ICOM 55,000,000,000. Do you ever wonder why that handset's so fucking special? Well, here's the reason why it's so fucking special. Because if they standardize these radios, they would give people a way out. Right now, most of the people I know are on the digital reservation. It's why it's unlikely a lot of people will ever hear my podcast, and it's also why it's unlikely they'll ever understand. They got their glowing rectangle to tell them what to do. For $50, a kid can go to Walmart and get a little glowing rectangle, and they'll be online 20 minutes later, or less, 5 minutes, maybe a couple minutes. You can't even buy a decent CB radio for $50. And even if you buy the radio, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to supply power to it, because usually they simply come with DC input. 12 volts, pretty standard. But if you think that's standard either, you're crazy. And you can say, well, Dan, different radios have different watt power levels, wattage. That's true. That's true. But for any given 5 watt or 10 watt or 20 watt radio that you'll find, or 100 watt, for any radio like that, you'll find out that even then you can't exchange parts really. Like, unless you're taking components out. Unless you're breaking out the soldering iron and actually removing components, which, how can I put this, very few people know how to do. A lot of people could learn how to use a CB radio. The set of people that would be able to fix that radio, that's a smaller group. But in the ham radio world itself, I went to this conference about a year ago. And man, the ham people, their little kiosk, their little table was about 30 feet away. And I remember periodically these motherfuckers coming by and trying to sharpshoot us about what we were doing. Oh, you're doing digital over CB? You can't reach anybody. Motherfucker! I could show you my database from the last week. I'm picking up CB radio digital messages from around the world. Fuck you. Go fuck off with that. We don't really know what is possible. But if you add into it that we don't really know what's possible with the technology because it's kind of, yeah, deliberately hamstrung, hamstringed, whatever. We don't know. But yeah, these fuckers were telling me bullshit. Oh, the FCC comes and arrests people. FCC doesn't do shit. They're lazy fuckers. They don't do shit. They are not going to find you. And if you don't get a ham license, they won't know where you fucking are. You really think they're going to be sending people after you? This government is in collapse. They don't have the resources to do shit. They can scare you with 87,000 IRS agents. But do you really think that's going to make a fucking difference, buddy? And yet, if you sit down with a group of ham people, they will give you every fearful reason to not do anything interesting. There's a bunch of stuff that we could be doing with ham radio, digital transmission today. Okay? It isn't going to allow you to get your porn. You won't be getting your movies or downloading music. But if all you need, if what you really need is communications over the horizon, reliable, digital, textual, you know, text-based comms, kind of like email, you can do that today with a CB radio and a computer. You can do that right now. But if you talk to a ham person, well, Dan, you can't do that. You won't be allowed to do that. Well, shit, I thought I was in America. Yeah, other than the world of anarchism and freedom in this country where there's a confidential informant or Fed every 15 feet, the only place worse is ham radio. And it's funny because you'd be led to believe that these people are out there doing things to promote a kind of decentralized activity, but it's not like that at all. They're mostly chumps. They mostly spend all day telling each other what kind of radios they have. In terms of using any of these technologies usefully, it doesn't happen. And even the technology itself is questionable. I haven't been able to do a complete code review of JS8 call, but here's what I'll tell you from user testing. It's buggy as fuck. It has some pretty bad memory leaks and periodically will crash your computer if you're running it all the time. And I'm simply running it in receive mode. All I'm doing is decoding messages, okay? But just decoding messages, it probably crashes my computer once or twice a month. And I run Linux. So that has to be some pretty fucking shitty code if you ask me. And I don't think that's accidental either. I also think that even though there are real physical limits to how much information you can send, given a frequency, given a wavelength, I don't think we're near those limits with what's possible with 11 meters, which is CB radio. So right now, if you use JSA call, it would be like being able to send a text message, maybe one text message every 3 or 4 minutes. And for a lot of people, that's plenty. Or think of it like a short email every 5 minutes. But I'm pretty certain we could do a lot better than that. Pretty certain. I'm not absolutely certain. I'm 99% certain. So why, in 2023, is the world of shortwave radio so antiquated, so broken, so Byzantine, so fragmented? Why is it? Why is it? Like I said, every motherfucking shortwave radio you buy, every component you use with that radio is uniquely designed for that radio. You tell me why that has to be true. Every fucking car I see on the road looks the same in 2023 Boblimp Doc. Just about every smartphone looks the same in 2023 Boblimp Doc. Almost everything is standardized, except for shortwave radio. What's so fucking special? And the answer is, there's nothing technically special about it. But I'll tell you something. If you want to keep the world from using communications outside the system, what they're doing is working. It keeps people away from shortwave. Oh, you can't do this. You can't talk to people. I pick up motherfucking messages from Antarctica and I live in Utah. Fuck you, what you can and can't do, shithead. And that's 11 meters. That's not 20 meters, 40 meters, 80 meters. That's not 160 meters. That's 11 meters, 24/7. And I'm decoding with my shitty equipment messages 24/7. So tell me again what you think is possible. The people I run into in this world who think it's impossible are mostly the people I think, yeah, who knows? I mean, one of the ways the feds will help out a ham guy is to, you know, give him some money for a radio tower. Oh, here's some cash. You can build a big antenna, but just make sure you tell us about the shitheads, you know? And tell people to be afraid. Spread the fear. If people are living free, keep them on the reservation. I don't know what to say beyond that. Next topic. I think this might be, it's another quote from Dr. Freckles. You know what? I'm going to skip that one. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. I'm more Marianne than Ginger. Yeah, that's just a reference to Gilligan's Island, and I'm not going to spend more than a minute on this. It's pretty self-evident what he's saying. He's more into Marianne and her Daisy Dukes and her, you know, little tied-up shirt around her boobies than Ginger. Ginger's high maintenance. She expects fancy cars. Marianne, you could make love to her in a forest by a babbling brook. That's enough of that. That's enough of that. This could be a short podcast today because I'm in a crappy mood and I suck. Next topic. Knowledge is more than just the index cards at the library, Dr. Freckles. What does that mean? Well, there's a lot of, you know, in a podcast a couple weeks ago, I talked about something called the brief intermission. And I think that's where we're at in the game right now. I think we're in a little bit of a lull. And the lull, you know, the L-U-L-L, this apparently slower period of time is filled with a lot of nonsense. A lot of very low-rent, pill-head, trailer park bullshit. And one of the low-rent, trailer park bullshit, you know, mind fucks that the system's throwing at you is artificial intelligence, ChatGPT. Oh my God, I asked it to make a picture, it made a picture for me. I asked it to make a little movie, it made a movie for me. I asked it questions, it answered my fucking questions. I think there's a very good chance that ChatGPT could be a hoax. And I also think there's a good chance we'll never know. Like, things will start falling apart before that ever gets revealed. It's a lot like the lawsuits against the hospital systems. If everything stays intact for another 2 or 3 years, unless they pass a law, which I don't see them being able to pass a law like this, just because this is an example of the parasites turning against the system, but unless they passed a law saying it was illegal to sue hospitals over the COVID, you're going to see a lot of lawsuits. You're going to see a lot of investigations. And even if people only get, as I've said, you know, 30% my direction on this, it's going to be a lot of angry people. And the same thing applies to this ChatGPT. It could be a hoax, but you're never going to fucking find out. There's not enough time. Okay? There's not enough time. There won't be a big reveal in 2024, right about the time they orbit the moon again, right, with people. There's not enough time. What does Dr. Freckles say? Knowledge is more than just index cards at the library. Frankly, knowledge is more than the books they point to. Like, you could pick up a book and hold it in your hands all day, and unless you read the book and understand it, you've just got a paperweight that, you know, you can also use to start a fire. Knowledge is more than just the index cards. It's more than just the books. What I have come to understand about ChatGPT is it more or less meets the minimal requirements of what I would call the weak Turing test, which is the standard Turing test for intelligence, the interactive test. But there's also a strong test, which is called navigating the world. Hey, do you remember about DARPA Race 1? The first DARPA race where they didn't use laser scanners and everybody tried visual pattern recognition for computer sight. How many of those vehicles finished that fucking DARPA Race 1, huh? Zero. I think that's the right answer. In fact, how many for that, 200-mile race made it more than a mile? Yeah, I don't think any of them did, really. Maybe one or two. Nobody finished it. The moral of the story of the first great DARPA race is that doing it the elegant way didn't work. So they incorporated laser scanners. And once you did that, you turned any vehicle into a cruise missile, essentially, having the same intelligence as a Tomahawk cruise missile. And if you want to call Tomahawk cruise missile intelligent, then these cars that could drive themselves were also intelligent. But here's the other thing about that DARPA race. It's not downtown New York City. It isn't LA. It isn't even the fucking highway. Okay? It's the fucking desert. And the only thing these motherfucking robots had to worry about were each other and not going off the side of the road. Well, it gets a little bit more complicated to navigate automated driving when there's lots of other people around and all kinds of crazy shit could happen and often does. I'm not going to go into every possible scenario, but a good example would be, and it's something to think on, is would these self-driving vehicles have enough awareness or wisdom to know what to do when someone else needs to get to the hospital? I mean it. You've got a car in front of you, it's self-driving. The person in the car is drunk. They don't hear you. You have a kid in the back. You've got to get to the hospital. But the car in front of you is deciding to follow the Queen's rules of traffic, and your kid is dying. Would one of these self-driving vehicles, more importantly, more interestingly, would one of these self-driving vehicles be able to take your kid to the hospital faster than you? Like, if it was you versus the vehicle, and you had to get your kid to the emergency room, which would get there first, the Tesla or the General Motors vehicle or the Ford or whatever, the Nissan that can drive itself or you? I can't answer that really. I don't think they've done that particular experiment or test, but I'm pretty certain the robot machine would fail. It doesn't understand the circumstances. There is no meta understanding. It is really just a cruise missile at this point. That is what that vehicle is. It's just a cruise missile. And if you want to ascribe super intelligence to cruise missiles, fine. You might as well ascribe it to the fucking flea or even, you know, the fly, the tardigrade. They all know how to navigate their environments. Why don't we call the tardigrade super intelligent? I personally believe, and I'm a little bit off my game, so I apologize, but I believe personally that ChatGPT is bullshit. I think it's complete crap. I think that there's a good chance it's a hoax, and I also think there's a good chance we're never going to know. It's too late in the game. You know, have fun with that. Whatever you fucking think that means, let's get this out of the way. Nobody's orbiting the moon next year. None of these hospitals will be sued, even though they should be sued and would be next year if, you know, things were normal next year. There's going to be no fucking election next year. And even if ChatGPT is a hoax, you're never going to fucking find out. And they know this. That's why they can toss these really dumbass, low-rent, pillhead psyops at you. Because they know that none of that shit's going to happen. But it's the intermission. And while you're out drinking in the lounge with all the other hoity-toities having your Manhattan, it's the kind of thing that keeps you entertained until that little light comes on and they tell you to go back into the auditorium. And I'm pretty certain that's going to happen here pretty fucking soon. I think before the end of the year. But that's just my opinion, shithead. Next topic. Yeah. Another quote from Dr. Freckles, and I've actually talked about this before, but it bears repeating, I think, because the subject of prophecy comes up and people say, what is the purpose of prophecy? Well, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Prophecy is comfort for the faithful. It is not an investing scheme. Prophecy is comfort for the faithful. It is not a way to predict Trump will win the election. Prophecy is comfort for the faithful. It is not a means to make money or to gain power. It isn't even really a way to make predictions. Prophecy is not meant to tell you what's going to happen. Prophecy is meant to tell you where you are, if you have faith. It's why, even when we get into one day, get into the end times, there are going to be so many people who doubt it because no amount of prophecy is going to convince them. It's not going to change them. It won't. Seeing the handwriting on the wall, seeing the signs of the times will have no impact upon a lot of people, which is also part of prophecy. It's one of the things the Lord told us. So if you're worried about being crowded at your church, I'd say don't worry. I mean, if you believe in the rapture, and I more or less do, a lot of people will be, you know, saying goodbye before any of the really cool stuff starts. But for the ones left over who ask questions and who say, maybe there's something to this, that church won't be crowded. Because a lot of people saw prophecy as a way to predict President Trump and to make money and to gain power. And it has nothing to do with any of those things, motherfucker. The prophecy that exists in the Bible is there so that when you are at that point in time, you can look to the prophecy and say, okay, I know where I am, and this is what the Lord is telling me, and this is what I need to do. The prophecy is there for a lot of people that otherwise wouldn't be saved. You see, I do believe in the rapture. I do believe that a lot of folks are going to, for all intents and purposes, it's as Christ said, two men walking up a hill, one disappears, one stands still, woman in a bed, can't see her husband, thinks he's dead. It's going to be like a thief in the night. People will just disappear. If it were not for prophecy, the people left behind would truly be doomed. Prophecy, in that sense, is more than just comfort for the faithful. Prophecy is one of the ways that the Lord continues to save even after the tribulation starts, even after we get into that period of time. These are all the topics for today. I'm not in a good mood, not in a good form, and I haven't really been able to podcast in almost a week. I felt like I needed to today, you know, because I needed to, but it wasn't because I felt inspired to. I've mostly felt inspired to just do nothing, because I can't think of anything useful to do. It's a worthy thing to think about. I was working on a service, and I may try to do it today. It probably will help. But I was working on a service, and it had to do with work. You know, what is work? What is labor, according to God? And it's funny, there's a lot in the Bible about work, but if you're asking yourself, is there a single coherent message, I'd probably say no, for the same reason there's no single coherent message concerning eating, drinking, pooping, and other things. You have to work. You have to be able to pay for your food, your water, your shelter. Good times, bad times, crazy times, does not fucking matter. Unless you have a bunch of people taking care of you, you have to take care of yourself. But at this point in time, I have a hard, very difficult path in trying to figure out what that is for me. I'm pretty certain it's not programming computers at this point, but that's the only work I can get. I am getting healed from my injury, but I'm not really sure if I would be going into the salt mines per se. Maybe I will. I just don't know. I mean, when I called this the brief intermission, and brief meaning, you know, let's just be precise by brief intermission, which I think it started at the end of last year, 12 to 18 months at the outside, which means it could go into next year, I don't know. But 12 to 18 months, the brief intermission. I figured this was a 5-year window starting in 2020. So 2020, 2021, 2022, we're in 2023, that's year 4. Next year's year 5. So who knows? Maybe next year we'll still be talking about all this stuff. I just don't. I have more questions than answers. And I do look to prayer and faith as a way to help. But I don't have any clear indication of what the Lord's trying to tell me. I do not. I'm sorry. I think the Lord wants us all to live the kingdom life, to live a good life, to care for each other, to try to do what's right in this world. But in terms of getting a job or doing something, I don't know. Selling cars, selling homes, handing out the food that's still there. There's still food at the grocery store, so that's a job. Go out and grow some crops, maybe. The only consistent message I've been able to decode from my Lord in heaven, more or less, since 2013, is stay alive. Just stay alive. Endure. Do what you have to do to get by. I didn't receive a message saying become a millionaire or billionaire, start a big business, take over the world, you know, become some tech guru. the main message I've received from the Lord for the last 10 years is stay alive. Don't die. You know, there's stuff you need to see. And it also makes me wonder about things like the rapture, because if there are things I'm supposed to see, then maybe there are things I'm supposed to see even after the tribulation starts. And perhaps I can see those things from heaven. I've spoken about this with a friend of mine, and perhaps I'm supposed to be here to see it. I don't know. If these are the end times. As I tell my friend and I tell my listeners, I'm 50-50. You can take that coin, that fair coin, and flip it, heads or tails. And whether you pick the heads or the tails, those are the odds that right now, I think, that we are on the edge of the end times. But if you understood, really understood, my own pursuit of a kind of basic naturalistic reason and logic, if you understood my respect for science and empiricism, you would know that saying 50%, that's a pretty high percentage, dude. There's a high probability. And if I look around the world and I ask that simple question, is the world ready for somebody like the Antichrist? And the simple answer is, hell yeah. Hell yeah. After 2020 and 2021, I'd say 100%. And maybe that was the purpose of the great COVID make-believe pandemic. Maybe that's the purpose of whatever bullshit war is going on in Ukraine, to see if people are ready, to see if they're prepared mentally. Not in some good way, but prepared to accept evil. Are people really that ready for it? The darkness, are they ready for it? It's not a great thought to have. It's not a positive thought. But it's where I've been. Maybe it's why I'm a little bit out of it. Maybe it's why I feel a little bit mentally disheveled, and that my consciousness is in chaos, because I have come to accept the possibility that we are very, very close to a point where either this is going to happen, or maybe there's another explanation. I don't know. But I can't think of much better than what people went through. To find out, to separate the wheat from the tares, and I gotta tell you, the devil don't care about the fucking wheat, but he is looking for the tares. The devil don't care about the soft dirt, but he's looking for the stone. The devil does not care and has no power over those that are saved, but he is looking for those that could be saved. Right now. Right now, he is looking around the world for those people that might be saved, and he does not want them to be. So I guess we'll see. It is Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2023. If you like this podcast and want to donate to it, you can. There's a link to it, to donations on PayPal if you want to donate. You can donate any amount, including zero. If you're going to donate, please take care of your food, your water, your shelter first. Take care of the people you love. I don't really know that you can stack enough food in your basement for what's coming, but if you are stacking food in your basement, make sure you're thinking about your pets, your dogs and your cats, your parrot. I have a special place in my heart for dogs now, but that doesn't mean it's you. And if you love your cat, your parrot, your fish, please think about them too, if you're going to take care of yourself. That's it. But if you've taken care of your parrots and your cats and your dogs, if you've taken care of the people you love and yourself, if you've found some joy in this life and continue to pursue joy, because the Lord is not opposed to that. He's not opposed to joy. He's not opposed to you being happy, by the way. But if you've done those things you need to do, and some of the things you want to do, and you still have money left over, you can donate to this podcast, and here's the solemn promise I'll make. I owe GoDaddy, excuse me, that was a Freudian slip, I owe Bluehost for 6 months of web services next month. That's going to cost me about $250 next month. If I don't come up with a 250 for next month, then the website goes down. That's not the end of the world, by the way. It's going to happen at some point. If it's next month, that's okay. But I'm just telling you. I will probably use some of the money for that if there's enough. I will definitely use it for rent and food. And if I've taken care of all the above and I still have cash left over, I'll probably purchase some marijuana and some beer. And that's it. That's the whole picture. If you want to donate to that, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. If you want to send me an email to give me a speech, fuck off. Because chances are, if you think you know me well enough to send me that email, I know you too. And like I said, if you want to quit drinking, you should. But probably the least helpful thing you can do, if you're going to quit drinking, is spend all fucking day talking about it. And by the way, I think that includes the 12-step programs too. All of them. All those programs where you go and tell people how you're not drinking. It's Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2023. I hope you guys have a great hump day and the rest of your week.